Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchene of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator.
Welcome to Smashville.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios and against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves their soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate throughout the NHL with all the scores, highlights, news, and more.
But you need to dig in right now, every guy. I want to see people rip their heart out of their f***ing chest this period. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier.
For another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, the Renegades of Puck are back in the trenches. The NHL season has not ended the way we all wanted it to end. 13 games shy of 82 for the Nashville Predators, but with the commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman, announcing a plan to return to play, your Nashville Predators will have an opportunity to finish this season. The season as it stands in the Central Division, the Nashville Predators finished with 69 games played, an overall record of 35-34-8. That is good for 78 points. That is fifth place overall in the Central Division. On home ice, it was a losing effort this season, 17-18-4. And unfortunately, the Nashville Predators will not get to play at Bridgestone Arena again, even if they make it all the way through to the Stanley Cup Final. On the road, the Nashville Predators did have a winning record at 18-16-4, and that's good because a neutral site will be a road game for the Nashville Predators, and that's exactly what they will have to do all the way through the new 24-team formatted NHL playoff. On the season, the Nashville Predators had 215 goals for, and they gave up 217 against. Not great in the goal differential, but the Preds were making a run at the end of the season for a playoff spot on their own in the old format of the top eight. They had a three-game winning streak before the season was frozen on March the 11th. That's the last time I got to speak with each and every one of you Renegades of Puck. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier, and it is so good to be back on the air talking with each and every one of you, getting you set up for a return to play in the NHL. We'll go through all of the details. We'll go through all of the news, the info, the particulars, and we'll especially focus on the Nashville Predators. The Renegades of Puck are in the trench this morning. Mastrodamus will be coming up in the second period, and an outstanding effort by Dan Bradley and a great recording of everything going on with the NHL and its return to play plan. We will have that coming up in the third period. I am, of course, your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier, and if you didn't already know, this is a Predneck Takeover of Nashville Sports Radio, and the Predneck Takeovers will go on whenever and wherever the takeovers need to go on. We've been responsible over the last several weeks. We've been out of the trenches. We've been making sure everything is clean, sanitized, maintained, and ready for a return to the Goggin Cold Hall Studios here at Nashville Sports Radio. I have missed each and every one of you. I hope each and every one of you are safe. Stick tap. Love, respect. Those are the things I feel for each and every one of you Renegades. And in case you have forgotten, Renegades come in all shapes and sizes. They come in all ages. They come from everywhere. The trenches are wide enough, deep enough, and we have expanded them far enough that the front lines are everywhere on the great war of hockey. So join the Renegades of Puck. Remember, you can always check it out. PredneckNation.com redirects you to WNSR.com, where you can get all the information about the show. You can go back and listen to previous shows. You can catch the link for our merchandise. And by the way, we could use a couple of t-shirt sales right about now, because just like every other small business, the Renegades of Puck hurting a little bit. So if you have the money, click on that link, pick up a cool t-shirt, support the Renegades of Puck. You can also follow us on Twitter at Predneck Nation. You can give us a like on Facebook, the Renegades of Puck in the Trenches, and we will be all summer long. If it takes 2 full months for the Nashville Predators to go on a run and win a Stanley Cup, then we will be here live at 5 a.m. every single game day, of course, with replays during the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show in the afternoon at 6 p.m. in our old traditional time slot. Remember, the Renegades of Puck are in the trench before dawn, not because it's a punishment, not because it's a penalty, but it's because we choose to be here. We choose to set the tone. We choose to set the pace for everyone out there. So again, it is incredibly exciting to be back here on the airwaves at Nashville Sports Radio, who has maintained the support for Predneck Nation and who has managed to keep the lights on and the doors open throughout everything that has been going on for the last couple of months. So again, I hope you're all safe, I hope you're all healthy, and I hope you're ready to get back in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Let's go through the details and the timeline of what we've been through. I just said it. The last time we talked on the air was the 11th of March. We were talking about an empty arena game for the Predators and the Columbus Blue Jackets, and before you know it, the NHL went on hiatus the next day, and that game was never to be played, and that game will never be played. Unfortunately, for the Nashville Predators, they were making a run there at the end of the season, and UC Saros was establishing himself as the starting goaltender of your Nashville Predators, but there was also a lot of other things going on around the league for the Preds that was trending in an upward direction. So for the Nashville Predators, they end up finishing fifth in the Central Division, which put them in a playoff spot. So the Preds were doing some very positive things, and also Roman Josi was heading towards a career year in many ways and possibly setting franchise records. So on the 12th of March, the NHL goes on hiatus. Gary Bettman, his leadership was always very confident and very bullish on finishing this season and awarding a Stanley Cup. After all, there's only been one time in history where a Stanley Cup was not awarded, and you may have heard it was another pandemic. It was the Spanish flu pandemic, and the Stanley Cup was not awarded because there were not enough healthy players left to finish the Stanley Cup final that season. So we go from March 12th, we go into quarantine, we go into safer at home, we go into stay at home, we go on a long hiatus is what we do, until this Tuesday when we heard from Commissioner Gary Bettman. Again, he had never wavered throughout the time that the NHL and all of professional sports was gone that they would finish this season. So on Tuesday afternoon, Gary Bettman's press conference, he announces, "This was something I was anticipating, and I'm glad we have finally gotten this out of the way after all of the time off. The current regular season is over. Stats will be frozen. NHL awards will be given out based on those." Now, there is some undercurrent of the first round of the 2014 playoff, perhaps those stats counting towards the regular season. They haven't made a full decision on that yet. So again, a lot of the things we're going to go over could change at least a little bit. A lot of things still in flux, but I'm working off the information that we had that the commissioner has given us. So the current regular season is now over. The AHL season ended and is completely over. They will not have any playoffs. That could actually benefit the Nashville Predators moving forward. So a 2014 playoff format has been announced. It is conference-based. It was approved by the NHL Players Association by a vote of 29-2. Now, here's how it's going to work out. The games are going to be held in two hub cities, and those cities are to be determined and voted on at a later time. They've given us a list of some finalists. I'll give you those: Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Vegas, LA, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver. Nashville did not make the cut, and I have been told it's because there are not enough locker rooms, possibly not enough sheets of ice available here for all of the teams that would have to make this their home for possibly 2 months to suit all of those clubs and their practice needs, and also what works best for Bridgestone Arena during a regular season game, during a playoff game, during regular times when the crowd comes, is its placement within downtown. at this moment in time, that's actually a detriment because Broadway is opening back up, and I don't think that the NHL wants to immerse themselves as much as they love coming to Nashville. I don't think they want to immerse themselves fully into the downtown area of Nashville because that could put several of their players, if not more, at risk because they're going to have to stay quarantined in a hotel. And while Nashville has plenty of hotels, including the Omni Nashville Hotel, just a block away from the arena, I do not think that Nashville is going to end up being in the conversation. As a matter of fact, the discussion needs to be brought out a little bit more. Most of these cities are of teams that are currently going to be in this playoff bracket, except for Los Angeles. Does this create a distinct home ice advantage for someone? Should the Western Conference teams play in an Eastern Conference home rink while the Eastern Conference teams play in a Western Conference home rink? There's a lot to get into when we talk about those things. But Nashville, I thought they might have been in the running. Maybe you could have put the Eastern Conference here. Would have been really cool to get the Omni Nashville Hotel fired up, get everybody down there. But what works best for our city is not going to work best for this current time and this current format. Now, when they do get back to the rink, what we're going to have is aggressive testing and protocols at each site, limited number of staff going to be allowed into the arena, and we're going to see how this all works out. Of course, everything we're talking about is subject to the health of the players and the availability of the arenas and the cities. As long as we avoid having some sort of major spike coming up here in the next several weeks from the coronavirus, then we should be able to move forward with this plan. Hopefully we will. I am right now in a positive way moving forward with the information until I'm told differently that this will be the plan and this is the estimated timeline. So aggressive testing and protocols at each of the hub sites and the hotels. Now, here's how that 2014 playoff will work out because this is really what you want to get into. The top four teams of each conference will play a round robin to determine seeds 1 through 4. And that's good because the top four teams get a chance to play a couple of games and they get a chance to get back on the ice against some significant competition. Now, that will be played under normal NHL regulation rules. So, in other words, no playoff overtime in the round robin for the top four teams of each conference. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, unique, and different. Seeds 5 through 12 in each conference will play a best of five playoff series, and it will include full playoff rules and playoff overtime. Now, they haven't come to a decision yet on how the seeds will be determined after this first round or best of five round or play-in round, but we will figure out how it moves forward. Next season is expected to be a full 82-game season, according to the commissioner. But that's going to be mighty difficult because based on the timeline, you're looking at phase two. We are currently in phase one, which is players returning to home cities and self-quarantining. By early June, looking to get small groups allowed at facilities to train, a number of 6, masks, testing, all of those things. But phase two is expected to begin sometime early in June with the hopes of phase three, which is the opening of training camp sometime after the 4th of July. And phase four would be the completion of the season. And when you look at the calendar, you got to figure that's going to start, hopefully, right around the beginning of August. Now, this playoff tournament is going to be just as lengthy as a traditional NHL Stanley Cup playoff tournament. It's going to look different. It's going to have more teams. It's going to have some oddities to it. But at the end of this, it's going to take 2 months to play. So if everything works out perfectly and you're back on the ice by August 1st, let's just use that. It's an easy time frame. Well, a 2-month playoff tournament, that means September 1st. October 1st is about when the Stanley Cup would be awarded. That's about when we're normally getting ready to go down to the rink for the first game of the NHL regular season. So there's going to have to be an adjustment made on the NHL calendar moving forward. If they want to play all 82 games, I am fully and 100% in support of the NHL calendar permanently shifting to the season beginning sometime around Thanksgiving. I mean, listen, this won't happen, but how cool would it be if the Winter Classic was the beginning of the NHL season every year? That would make everything a little bit too compact, a little bit too tight every year. So I think Thanksgiving, though, is a realistic start time. And let's face it, everybody, the NHL, it will get way more attention in the early quarter of the season if they're not competing so hard against college football and the NFL and Major League Baseball and the World Series, if that goes on to happen. So what I'm trying to say is the NHL calendar could shift in a positive way permanently moving forward after this 2014 playoff is played. So we're looking at hopefully being back on the ice playing hockey on August 1st, or at least early in August. Now, what's that going to look like? Well, there's going to be a 28-player roster that is expanded, unlimited goaltenders. Now, for the Nashville Predators, this is going to benefit them because the Milwaukee Admirals, who are not going to get to play in a playoff tournament in the AHL, were one of the best clubs and might have been the favorite to win in the AHL this season. There is some significant talent down there in Milwaukee, of course, including their starting goaltender, Connor Ingram, who you know will be here as soon as the Preds can get them here. But there's a bunch of talent down there in Milwaukee, including Elli Tolvanen, that could come up here and help the Nashville Predators. The Preds have a deeper system than some of the other teams. This could be a point in time that really benefits and shows what the Preds have done as a franchise with roster development. So we've taken you through the timeline and we've taken you through what the teams will look like going in. But who's actually in the playoffs? The top four in the East: Boston, Tampa Bay, Washington, and Philly. They'll play that round robin tournament. In the West: St. Louis, Colorado, Vegas, and Dallas. Now, here is your seeds for the 5 through 12 matchup of the bracket. In the Eastern Conference, it'll be number 5 Pittsburgh versus number 12 Montreal, number 6 Carolina versus number 11 the New York Rangers, number 7 the New York Islanders versus number 10 Florida Panthers, and 8 Toronto versus 9 Columbus. It's kind of amazing how these extra seeds that have been added to the playoff tournament seem to benefit those original 6 markets, like Montreal, like the New York Rangers, like the Chicago Blackhawks. But I'll leave that for later. I'm just going to say people are going to be really pissed if a team that's a 12 seed or an 11 seed goes on to win this Stanley Cup. Because after all you have to do is get hot right now, and it's a crapshoot. Where we left off 2 months plus ago is not where we're going to pick up. People are going to be healthier than they were. Teams are going to look different. Whoever can get sharpest, fastest, and get a hot goaltender is going to make a serious run, regardless of where the standings finished and no matter what your seed is. It's a wide-open Stanley Cup playing field. And in the West, Edmonton versus Chicago. That's your 5-12, your 6-11 matchup. This is the one you've been waiting to hear. The Nashville Predators will face off against the Arizona Coyotes. They played twice this season, and it was 1-1 for the Predators against the Coyotes. Number 7 Vancouver versus number 10 Minnesota, and number 8 Calgary versus number 9 Winnipeg. Only 7 teams in the entire NHL did not make it into the NHL playoffs this year. Roman Josi finishes the season as the Nashville Predators' leading point scorer. 16 goals, 49 assists, 65 points. What a magical season it was. It's a shame that it had to come to an end early. Roman Josi was making a run at easily a top 5 season all time in scoring for this Nashville Predators franchise. Philip Forsberg finishes with the lead in goals for the team. 21 goals on the season, 48 overall points. Unfortunately, Matt Duchene underperformed in his first season as a Nashville Predator, coming up with only 13 goals in 66 games this season. That is not a good enough number. Ryan Johansson also dramatically underperformed this season. Only 36 points in 68 games. Pekka Rinne started the season hot in October, but then faded, and UC Saros was able to wrestle the job away from him as we were heading into the deepest part of the schedule of March. And it looked like UC Saros was going to get his first ever playoff start. We'll talk to Mastrodamus here in a couple of minutes about goaltender deployment coming up. After all, if Rinne can come in as hot as he was in October, that puts the Nashville Predators at a distinct advantage. Or if UC Saros comes back in the prime condition he was in when the league went on hiatus, also sets the Predators up for a very good position. We have so many things to talk about with Mastrodamus, with Dan Bradley, and with each and every one of you. It's been a tough many weeks now without having any sports on TV, without having any hockey to watch, but now we have something to talk about. We have a return to play plan for the NHL. We have something new. We have something unique. It's interesting, and it is wide open the way we have never seen it before, going into what is still going to be a two-month Stanley Cup tournament. It is going to be awesome. I am so looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to being back here at the Goggin Coldhall Studios on Nashville Sports Radio with each and every one of you Renegades of Puck as often as we can be. Hopefully for the Nashville Predators, they're going to continue that three-game winning streak and that little bit of a heat up they had at the end of the season, put it all together under brand new head coach John Hines, and make a significant run into the playoffs. Let's all be smart, let's all be safe out there, and let's get back on the ice. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sarnia. You're listening to Predneck Nation right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Mastrodamus coming up next in the second period.
I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators. You're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
From one captain to another, stick taps right there to Roman Yossi, who was having a top five Nashville Predators season in scoring. 69 games played will be the final for this season. 16 goals, 49 assists. That's good for 65 points. So many numbers were just approaching records for the franchise. Hopefully Roman Yossi comes out for the playoff tournament just as hot as he was all regular season and leads his Nashville Predators to something very special. Speaking of something very special, haven't had a chance to talk to this guy in a while. He's been staying at home, staying safe, and we haven't had a chance to meet up with the Renegades of Puck in the Trenches since March the 11th when we were talking about an empty arena game coming up versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. But now we're talking about a 24-team NHL playoff and a return to play plan put out by Commissioner Gary Bettman just the other day. You know who it is. He's a man so far ahead in the future. He's going to tell you everything that's going to happen with this 24-team tournament. And he's also the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation. On Twitter, at GreekGoalie35, it's the return of Mastrodamus. How you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, it is great to hear your voice, brother. How are you?
Holy crap, I almost forgot what you sounded like, bro. I mean, it's been, what, 2.5 months since we've been here doing this thing?
That's been a while, 77 days.
That's absolutely wild, man. It felt like so much longer than that. All right, we have so much information to get into. We'll put the pleasantries aside. You know how much I love you, stick taps, respect. I hope the family is safe, happy, healthy, and everybody continues to be that way. But unfortunately, Mosh, I got to start asking you some questions. I got to start getting your opinions right here. Let's take a quick look back at the Nashville Predators season that is now complete. 69 games played, an overall record of 35-34-8, 78 points, a losing record on home ice, Mosh, 17-18-4. I don't like that. Bridgestone Arena was an impenetrable fortress for the last couple of seasons. 18-16-4 on the road. That is a very good record going on the road, considering the competition the Preds went up against, a goal differential on the season of -2. Overall, Mastrodamus, talk to me about the Nashville Predators season. A coach got fired, a coach got hired, players underperformed, and it was a roller coaster ride, but the Nashville Predators do end up in fifth in the Central and do qualify for the new 2014 playoff format.
Yeah, it was definitely an up-and-down season. A lot of mostly downs, in my opinion, honestly. I mean, aside from Roman Yossi basically carrying this team on his back, obviously you have the Laviolette issue, probably was fired later than he should have been. Obviously, David Poile did not want to fire him before the Winter Classic and put that sort of embarrassment, put that sort of attention on the team, negative attention on the team going into the Winter Classic, so he survived till then. John Hines comes in, who was also fired during the season. So, I mean, it's been a crazy season overall. Obviously, you go up and down the roster, underperforming guys left and right. The fact that this team is sixth, has a sixth seed basically in this playoff format, firing a coach, getting a coach hired that was already previously fired, Pekka Rinne woefully underperforming the last couple of months of the season before this pandemic hit. So many factors in it. The fact that they're even in this position with, again, a power play that hasn't really improved that much is a minor miracle that they've been this, that they actually have this sort of status.
Special teams, you just mentioned it. The power play was fairly abysmal again this season, and we've now seen that for a couple of seasons. So Mastrodama's special teams certainly has to improve on both of the units, and if they don't, they're not going anywhere.
No, not at all. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, we've seen it before in previous playoff runs where, Chicago back, several years back, where the Preds were 0-for in the playoffs in the power play. Even last year against Dallas, they were 0-for on the power play, and that cost them games. So things like that where they say, you can't win a series just based on your special teams play, but you can certainly lose them. And the Preds have shown that throughout their history, that they're just not up to snuff. And when you're not and you waste those opportunities, momentum goes to the other team. Suddenly they're on the attack, and you can't get them out of your own zone. So it's a shame, but again, they started to see a little bit of improvements. I saw some changes on the power play, the penalty kill. We don't want to mention Vancouver. Thankfully, they didn't draw Vancouver the first round. That's all I got to say. Otherwise, we're looking at 5 power play goals against every game. But thankfully, they avoided that issue.
You mentioned the example. That's the best one. Last year in the playoffs, the Preds could have manufactured anything on the power play. They probably don't get eliminated by the Dallas Stars the way that they did. You also mentioned players underperforming. Now, getting a break, taking a deep breath, some self-reflection. We saw many interviews with Ryan Johansson over the hiatus, and he knows he's not living up to the contract. He's not living up to the hype. And certainly this year, when you look at 68 games played and only 36 points, not at 2 points on the season in his first year with the Preds, absolutely not acceptable. And Mastrodamas, there were others, including Kyle Turris, that underperformed this season. A new opportunity, a chance to take a break, catch your breath, reflect, train, get healthy. What do you expect coming from these fellas in the playoff tournament?
Well, it's going to be weird because obviously this is more like an offseason considering the amount of layoff that they've had and the amount of layoff they're going to have even up until we actually get back on the ice sometime, what appears to be early August at the very earliest. You're looking at guys, early August to March, that's 5 months. I mean, that's basically you're eliminated from the playoffs early on in April, or you don't make the playoffs in a normal season all the way till October. That's, five months till preseason and 6 months into regular season. So that's basically what this is. So it depends. You're going to have to look at guys who usually start good out of the blocks in a regular season. Matt Duchene early on was fantastic. He was averaging, we joke about it, he was averaging 2 points per game for the first week or so of the season, and then completely tapered off. Guys like Pecorine, for instance, super strong out of the gates. Guy like UC Saros always starts out very, very slowly. So there's going to be interesting decisions to make, but I think the guys who typically start out strong in the regular season in October are going to have that advantage because it's going to feel much more like the beginning of a new season.
You're absolutely right about that as far as timing goes. Now that we do know a timeline, it is very much like the timing of a full off season, a very different return when you come back because the stakes are as high as they can be. Now, Mastrodamas, during this hiatus from the NHL, Commissioner Gary Bettman, who, gets booed by just about everyone everywhere he goes, he was absolutely bullish from the start on this thing that they were going to finish this season, that there was going to be a Stanley Cup champion. Now, I questioned the amount of times he was so stubborn and bullish about this thing, but he really displayed leadership. And when you look across the professional sports landscape, he's probably the commissioner who has been the most out in front of this thing, getting a plan in place and getting everything organized. So while all of the details haven't been finalized, you've got to give Gary Bettman some credit. He said from day one when the league went on hiatus, we were going to finish this season. Now he's got a pretty comprehensive plan in place, and it looks like he's really worked out the details.
Yeah, he has not wavered one bit. You're absolutely right. He's not playing both sides of the fence. He said, we are going to award a Stanley Cup champion, period. And that's exactly what this plan lays out to be. Now, who knows what happens over the next several weeks to, up to the point of possibly a training camp opening up in early July. When it comes to this pandemic, but as it stands right now, if things do improve and things, testing continues to be incredibly comprehensive, as he has indicated as well, before anybody even gets on the ice, you're looking at a plan that does take place. Did they invite too many teams? Probably so, but again, if you're a team that's sitting in ninth place at this point and you're a coin out, and let me put it this way, it takes the question over who really could have made it if they had a couple games in hand. If you're a point back and all of a sudden, you know, you got a game in hand or whatnot, who knows what would have happened in that situation. I'd take it back. I think it was 2013 with the Philadelphia Flyers and New York Rangers, I believe it was, where the Flyers and Rangers played all the way down to the last game of the season into a shootout to see who was going to make the playoffs. Guess what? Philadelphia won that game, went all the way to the Stanley Cup final. So it may not be fair, of course, for the other teams that played 70 games and played much better, but he's giving an opportunity for teams to get in. It's kind of like the Dayton play-in game for an NCAA tournament, basically. You get your chance, then you can make it to the big dance of 16 teams and then go from there.
Look, Mosh, they always say when you expand the playoffs, that next team that gets cut off, they're going to complain and say, well, why didn't you expand it to this many teams? I ain't heard a word out of Buffalo, New Jersey, L.A., Detroit. I don't think they want to come back. I don't think that they care. I think that they're plenty happy with moving on to the offseason and that incredibly complicated draft lottery that is to come. By the way, I'm not going to get into it right now because we have so much time to discuss that, but if anybody needs to find themselves a good nap soundtrack, go ahead and listen to Gary Bettman try to describe the draft lottery. It took him about 15 minutes, and I don't think anybody truly understood what it was at the end of that thing. All right, Mosh, you talked about the return to play timeline. We're in phase one right now. Players are returning to their host cities. Then they will have to quarantine, which leads to phase two, hopefully beginning sometime in the next 14 days from now. And then we'll see phase three around mid-July. And phase four will be playing hockey. Could be, if it's the beginning of August, it'll be over by the beginning of October. If they don't get to play this thing till later in August because of delays, complications, or whatever it is, then you might not have a Stanley Cup for this season awarded till November. What do you think about the timeline as far as returning to play? I think it's one, I think it fits a nice balance. I think it's aggressive, but I think it's also playing it smart, coming back one phase at a time, basically one month at a time. Your thoughts on the plan to return?
Well, I think it's realistic too. You can't sit there and make an announcement, you know, a couple of days ago and say, yes, we're going to come back and, oh, guess what? We're starting to play games. We're going to let teams go into their facilities, start their training camps all over again. And we're having games by mid-June. It's not realistic. So he's letting everybody get back to their home cities. And of course, when you do travel, you have to have 2 weeks of complete self-quarantine to try to eliminate any possibility of getting the virus from somewhere else. And going from there. So at the earliest, I think he said it was July 1st. I don't see it being July 1st. You're probably looking at second week of July before teams finally get back to training camp. And then you have a couple exhibition games, which I like because a big worry from people was if you end the regular season, how can guys go from no games and then have 5 months off and then go right into playoff format? We know better than anybody that playoff hockey is a different animal than regular season hockey. So you're going to tell me you get 5 months off and then go boom, right into playoff mode. That just doesn't work. So he has given at least a couple exhibition games in there as well to get thrown in, to get guys' legs under them a little bit, get to play different people, a couple different teams possibly, and go from there. But the expanded roster, of course, is good as well, as you mentioned earlier, with the Preds and their depth in the system in Milwaukee. But timeline-wise, I like it. Again, it's going to be weird to see a Stanley Cup champion being awarded around the same time you usually see a banner raising of a Stanley Cup champion. But you know what? At this point, you take it. The NHL has been the first out of the major sports to actually have a plan in place to award a champion for this 2020 season that has really kind of gone up in the air since this pandemic hit.
I also have to give credit, since we did talk about Gary Bettman, and I'll just give them a quick stick taps. The NHLPA did a good job also of helping agree to at least a skeleton plan to get something announced, and now I think that they're going to work things out together. Mosh, one thing I'm concerned about, and then we'll move on to the actual playoff format, I'm concerned about soft tissue injuries, groin injuries, pulled muscles, things like that. Even with a couple exhibition games, these guys are going to come out of the gate trying to fly and go into all no half stepping for the playoffs. I am concerned about injuries. That's why we've already seen the NHL kind of anticipate that with the expanded roster. I'll get more detail on that in a minute when we preview the Pred series coming up. But the 24-team format, Mosh, it's kind of crazy, huh? The original six seems to benefit quite a bit from this number 24. This puts Chicago, Montreal, and the New York Rangers all teams that would have missed the traditional cut into the playoff format. So some big market clubs and some big names getting a chance to get themselves out there on the ice one more time. What do you think of the number 24? Is there a different number format, a different style tournament that you would have preferred, or are you just okay with what they're doing?
At this point, I just want hockey to be back out there, but I understand what you're saying with, you know, rewarding the original six teams and trying to get them at least a little bit of time in there before their season would be over. But if you look at the standings, too, I mean, some of those teams, yeah, Chicago probably doesn't deserve any opportunity to get in there. The Rangers had been making a good push as far as getting a playoff berth. But look at if you look at the points overall, anything beyond 24 was certainly not realistic. It was a major drop off in both conferences after Montreal and after, of course, in the Western Conference with Chicago. So you can't really realistically say there could have been more. As far as any less, yeah, you may have made it into 10 and then gotten maybe the top two seeds in the Western and Eastern conferences, get them a bye, and then whoever wins, say, two different playoff series, two little mini playoff series to get their way into the playoffs. Maybe they'll play the top two seeds. But they've even messed with the top four seeds as well, where they're doing a round robin to determine that. I don't not necessarily agree with that, but I understand with them at least getting some games in before the playoffs as well. So that'll be kind of like their exhibition game, so to speak. I know they're going to get reseeded because of it, but honestly, if you're going for a Stanley Cup, you don't care what seed you're in. There's no home ice advantage anymore. So the round robin games, I think, for the top four teams in each conference are basically more or less exhibition, get people's legs under them and get some ice time out there to shake some of the cobwebs loose.
Mostradamus, you just said something about home ice advantage, but here's a topic that I think is actually going to be controversial and I think is going to get a lot of complaining. We're all real excited about the opportunity to get back on the ice, and we've got a plan in place, and we know who's going to be in the playoff tournament. But when it comes to the hub cities, you could actually see a home ice advantage. I alluded to it a little bit earlier, Mosh, but when you look at the list of potential hub cities, seven of the eight that have been listed so far are teams that are currently in this 2014 playoff format, with Los Angeles being the only one that's not currently in the tournament. Now, I do not want to see the number 12 seed Chicago Blackhawks end up being a host hub city. I don't care how good their facilities are, how many hotel rooms or practice rinks or locker rooms they have. I don't want to see the number 12 seed being the host hub city. I want to see this be a little bit more of an actual, impartial, neutral site hub. So, Mostradamus, your thoughts on my thoughts, and where do you actually think the NHL will fall when it comes to picking two cities?
Well, the thing is that, yeah, you could say, I don't even necessarily think it's a home ice advantage. It's more of a comfort level advantage, or you're not going to have fans there. It doesn't seem, I wouldn't think anyway with this thing. I don't think that was even addressed, but I don't think you're going to have fans there with as stringent as these situations are. But so you'll have a comfort level if you're playing in your own rink. So that a little familiarity, of course, but everybody's played in every rink. I don't think there's that big of an issue. I don't think they're going to pick Chicago anyway, but I think it's going to be L.A., you know, big city on the West Coast. Not exactly centralized for the Western Conference teams, but L.A. makes sense, a lot of sense to me. I don't think the three Canadian teams they put in there, the Canadian cities rather, I don't see that happening because of the whole travel issue, because if you're traveling into Canada, then you got to do another two-week quarantine. That's not going to work. So I think they're just in there trying to do a as much as this may sound a little conspiracy, is just to appease Canadians and say, yeah, they're up for a possibility of being one of the hub cities. That's not going to happen. I don't see any possibility of that happening for a Canadian city. Then you have, of course, out east, Pittsburgh and Columbus is another city out there that's a possibility. Columbus, yeah, I guess that would work in a certain way. Obviously, Columbus is playing in the play-in round as well, but it's difficult, but I don't see a real big home ice advantage aside from just basically a comfort level of being in your own city.
Mostradamus, when I look at the list, I see Vegas hosting the Western Conference playoff tournament. And for some reason, I don't know why, I see Pittsburgh hosting the Eastern Conference as the hub city. That is going to be a controversial decision. There's going to be a lot that has to go into that for the NHL. And of course, I'll be getting your opinion on that as we move forward and we get more detail on that. And I mentioned in the open, I think what takes Nashville out of the running is the fact that what works best for us on a regular season playoff game day during normal times. Everybody gets to spill out right on the Broadway, all the bars, all the honky-tonks wide open, and Nashville's back open for business. You know, we got tourists, we are a host and entertainment city, so I think that what works best for Nashville normally actually works against Nashville as far as being a hub city. All right, Mosh, I only got you for another couple of minutes. We got to get through a couple more things. Listen, with the possibility of a Stanley Cup not being awarded till October, maybe the beginning of November for this season, do you see a permanent change in the NHL calendar and maybe the NHL season beginning moving forward either at Thanksgiving, which I think is probably an optimal and easy to target date, or Mosh, what about a huge blowout to kick off the NHL season with the Winter Classic being game one, just like they do in the NFL, just like college football, just like in racing, where one of the biggest events of the entire year is the kickoff event? Mosh, what do you think about the NHL calendar moving forward? And caveat, Gary Bettman's already said they plan to play a full 82 next season.
Well, if they're planning on playing a full 82 next season, obviously there's going to be a delay in the process. This isn't, you know, Nashville Beer League hockey where you win a championship and then a week later, oh, hey, it's a new season again.
Hey, they give us 1 week off.
But, I mean, so, yeah, I'm not opposed to that because, let's face it, October, sports-wise, there's all kinds of things going on. In October, the NFL season is getting started. Football, college football, obviously, is big at that time. The NBA season is starting. So baseball playoffs are going on during that time. So there's a lot of stuff that takes away from the beginning of NHL hockey. And let's be honest. Unless you're super hockey nuts like us, early season hockey doesn't mean a whole lot to most people. They're waiting until the second half of the season, or at least until after the Winter Classic, and then the playoff rush really starts to kick in into a different gear after that. So as far as Thanksgiving goes, I wouldn't be opposed to something like that. I mean, I know you're talking about Winter Classic. I think that's pushing it back a little bit too much because you're looking at, you know, if you kick off Winter Classic, you're looking at a season that probably ends in, again, October, so the Stanley Cup Final gets, or even September, Stanley Cup Final gets, you know, kind of lost in the mix with, you know, regular season again, NFL, and then college football again kicks back off again. So maybe not that far, but I like the fact that you're thinking, you know, maybe Thanksgiving-wise, somewhere around there that weekend to start things off again. So, yeah, I'm totally fine with it, but if they're going to play 82 in 2021, it's certainly going to have to be expanded out. Maybe you do start a Winter Classic off for 2021 because of where this pandemic has led us and where a Stanley Cup champion will be rewarded.
And that would be cool. I do see a change in the calendar coming. I just wonder if it's going to be permanent. I think that the NHL could really take an opportunity here and seat themselves in a more advantageous spot away from college football. And by Thanksgiving, most NFL markets are completely checked out anyway. They're no longer involved. College football is pretty much wrapped up. I think it would be great to do that. All right, Mosh, here's what the people really want to know about. Their Nashville Predators are going to get a chance to get back on the ice in this new expanded playoff format, and they will be facing off against the Arizona Coyotes on the 17th of October. It was Arizona 5 and Nashville 2 in Arizona. Favreau and Bonino got the only goals for the Nashville Predators in a game that really the Preds never had a chance in. If you stayed up late watching that one, you know. Saros got the start, took the loss, 27 out of 31. The second meeting came at Bridgestone Arena on December the 23rd. It was the Preds with a 3-2 win over the Coyotes. Forsberg, Arvidsson, Josi with the goals. Pekarinen, 26 saves. So each goaltender got a start against Arizona this season. Mastrodamas, as of now, it is a best of five. The Coyotes have not traditionally been a great matchup for the Nashville Predators, but it's wide open right now. Talk to me about your initial thoughts about the Predators and the Coyotes in a best of five to start the NHL playoffs.
To start the playoffs with a best of five, that seems odd just even saying, but yeah, look, Arizona has been an issue with the Preds, usually on the road. So if they were playing Gila River Arena, I would be much more worried about this best-of-five scenario. Arizona started out super strong. They typically do. The last several seasons, Arizona's played the first half of the season really, really well. And you think, oh, this young team with, you know, these old expiring contracts just to hit the salary cap floor, oh, they're doing pretty good. Maybe they'll actually make a run for the playoffs. And then inevitably they start collapsing in the second half of the season, much like they were during this season before the pandemic hit. So Preds were hitting their stride. Again, this much of a layoff, you never know what's going to happen. It may favor Arizona a little bit because of the whole five-month layoff thing, and it starts a new season basically all over again. It may favor Arizona in that situation. However, the caveat to all this, And the key, the biggest key between Arizona and Nashville in a playoff series, the Preds do not have any Costitzins on their team this time. Period. Preds win the series in four.
You would go right there. That's why he's the best in the business. He is Mostradamus, a man so far ahead in the future. He's told you everything that's going to happen with the NHL's return to play plan. And as long as we're all on the same team and playing it smart, we will be playing hockey again sometime around the beginnings of August. The starting goaltender of Predneck Nation on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. He's always ready to mix it up. And now that we got some pucks to talk about, I expect each and every one of you to engage 100%. Mostradamus, I look forward to talking to you again very soon. And of course, as you know, the takeovers will go on whenever and wherever the takeovers need to go on. So the people will find a way to the trenches and join us soon. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Charlie, always a pleasure. Everybody stay safe out there. And just to be realistic, it's going to be another 70 or so days before we can get hockey back on the ice. But there's at least a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mostradamus right there, man. That guy is the best. I have missed talking to him, just like I've missed talking to each and every one of you, and I have absolutely missed being here on the radio, largely silent for the last 2.5 months, because I've been home, I've been getting healthy, I've been getting things right, I've been working on expanding the trenches, and all of those incredible things that you've come to expect from the Renegades of Puck. That was Mostradamus. Dan Bradley coming up next with some special commentary. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. You're listening to Predneck Nation right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Pekarin of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in. Predneck Nation Radio back on the air. The takeovers will go on whenever and wherever they need to go on. We decided to jump in the trenches and ambush the airwaves in a pre-dawn raid because the Renegades of Puck are who set the tone. They set the pace. And no more important renegade than Dan Bradley. Over the years, he has delivered some of the best commentary, some of the best comments, some of the best activity we've ever had on this radio show. It is Dan Bradley, and we have opened up a brand new segment for Dan. It is going to be Dan's special commentary. It will be featured in the third period as often as we can. And here is Dan Bradley with his commentary corner.
Hello and good morning. Thank you very much, Crazy Charlie, and really enjoyed doing these segments. And first off, I hope all of Predneck Nation is doing well. Wanted to take a minute or two to, I know that we owe a lot to our healthcare workers on the front line. We owe a lot to people, our first responders. Also want to say a special thank you and a salutations to the people working on the front lines in other places, grocery stores, warehouses, truckers. My goodness, that's how we're able to get through this mess, man. I'm able to say, I mean, because of the system that we have with people working in warehouses and grocery stores, and God bless all of you truck drivers out there, I'm able to sit at home, push a few buttons on my phone, and magically food appears at my door. It's pretty great. I mean, I may have gotten outside maybe 10 times since March, and I have the hair to prove it. So as Jonathan Schaefer and Charlie would like to say, I have the hair that looks like it's going to take on the Von Erichs at the Sportatorium. So we've got some kind of half-baked plan here from the NHL to resume their season, and I've got mixed feelings on this. It's both good and bad, and it's good because it's something, all right? We actually have something to talk about. And I think that's why the NHL didn't. What the NHL has learned from the NFL and to some extent the NBA is that it's good to have something to talk about. Stretch out your offseason, make it a little bit more diluted, but give your fans something to talk about. Because otherwise, you're irrelevant. I mean, that's the problem that hockey's had for a while, is that there's a desert of activity that just, it doesn't grab the headlines the way it should. And there are some reasons, when I look at this, there are some reasons why I think deep down this is an okay idea. I mean, I like the idea that this is a chance to grow the market share. Hockey's able to go first to market with something here that's actually a little bit less gimmicky than what the NBA's doing. You're actually going to have hockey in real hockey arenas. The NBA is going to set up camp at Disney. And as much as I love Orlando, love Florida, love Walt Disney World, it's just a little weird. I wouldn't want And I wouldn't want to, granted, what are they going to do? They're going to shut down Disney for the NBA that way so only the players can go to Disney? I mean, that doesn't seem like a bad idea, and it sounds like a heck of a commercial for Disney that's losing billions of dollars by the day, but I digress. There's some parts of it I do like. On the other hand, this seems incredibly dangerous to a group of players that play the roughest sport on earth. A lot of them do have underlying conditions they might not even know or may not even want brought to light. In addition to exposure being a problem here, hockey's dangerous enough. And now you're going to add in the fact that there's rustiness to it. You're going to add in the fact you're going to have some haphazard exhibition or miniature playoff series to get ready for the, quote, the real playoffs. This seems like it's going to be kind of dangerous. And, you know, we all saw the movie Rollerball, either the James Caan version or the 2004 version. We know that danger equals ratings. My question also is that will this even look like playoff hockey? You've got the top end of the teams just playing an exhibition three-game round robin. And then you have a competitive playoff series, which, you know, may look more like preseason hockey to determine who goes on to the next round. I don't know if it's even feel like playoff hockey. And I'm going to reserve the right to reserve judgment and walk this back, but there's a group of people that don't want this to be called the Stanley Cup. I remember Matt Duchene was even saying that. Can we really call this the Stanley Cup? I don't know. It depends on how serious the players take it. I do think you're going to have a faction of the players that aren't going to be taking this terribly serious, at least until they're on the verge of elimination. So that's my pros and cons with it. But since we're here, and since the Predators at least have something, some kind of target in their crosshairs, and it's the Arizona Coyotes, this is, I guess, again, greater than zero here, I suppose. You don't have to worry about the team going out to Scottsdale. That's a plus. The Predators are healthy, according to David Poile, and let's just be real here, should handle the Coyotes. The Coyotes stumbled into the break. They're not terribly great. They've got some good players, but, you know, last I checked, you know, the Predators do have quite a few win-now players. Ryan Ellis, Roman Josi, and I can give you a list of forwards that should have more than, you know, more than 30 goals next to their name. But the Predators are quick. They're not faster than the elite teams in the West. They're physical. I mean, some players are, but they're not more physical than your St. Louis's of the group. But if you're a Predators fan, you're looking at this thinking, you know, we got a warm-up series against Arizona, which are, they're a good team. They, you know, they're not one of the worst teams in the play in the West. They're close to it, but they're not one of the worst teams. Yeah, there's a good chance for them to sharpen their skills and to get themselves back into playing shape and back into that, for the game to slow down for them before they play a team like a Vegas or a Colorado or a Dallas that could, you know, if this game took place in March, might skate him out of the building. I mean, stranger things have happened here, and, you know, a team that they should beat gives them advantage against a team that may be coming off playing a bunch of exhibition games. There's no home games. You don't have to worry about that colossal letdown that happened 2 years ago that no one seems to even want to talk about that happened against Winnipeg. I don't see this team having that pressure that the past couple of years had given on them. This is a team that, you know, is quietly the sixth best team in the West. They have the talent. They can go down the middle with anybody in the West. They may not always have the best player in that position, but if we look at the depth they have at the center position, they have it now. And there's a time where you cannot buy more excuses from this. This is the chance. This is like, my family now, we play Uno a lot, and there's this new wild card with Uno that has a picture of cards being shuffled. And if you play that card, it doesn't matter if you have one card or if your opponent has one card and you have 14, everybody throws all their cards in, they all get shuffled, and they all get redealt. That's exactly what's happened to the NHL here. The Predators have a chance with all of their win-now players to do something here. And this is a bit of a competitive advantage for teams that have to play this playoff these little playoff series before they go after the top four. Maybe they can catch one of these teams. And if you catch one, then, you know, then you're officially on a run at that point. I like their chances of getting past Arizona. And depending on what their draw is, as long as they don't, you know, skate like they have sand in their skates, I like their chances maybe getting out of the second round. After that, who knows? This is all such a wild card, and whether we're going to call it the Corona Cup in a few years or whether it's going to be one of those just awkward banners that's going to hang from the rafters of Bridgestone or whether it's going to be the big banner, who knows? It's something to talk about, and the NHL's been very careful about how they release. If you look at their what they have here, that's based on seedings, and we have no idea how long the series are going to be. It's, again, this is very half-baked, but at the same time, it's something to talk about. And I hope everyone out there is doing well, and we'll talk soon. Crazy Charlie, thank you much, good sir.
That was Dan Bradley's special commentary corner. We'll be featuring that segment as often as we can. For each and every one of the Renegades of Puck, Mostradamus, Dan Bradley, the Ultimate Predator, Miranda Martin, Jonathan Schaefer, all of you guys, love you guys, stick taps, respect. It's been a long 2.5 months without you, but we got hockey to talk about. Hopefully everything works out, the timeline continues, and we can move on forward and award a Stanley Cup champion sometime early this fall. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. You've been listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios on Nashville Sports Radio. Bill King Show, next.